May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Maker. Amen. Today is a day that has been marked, that is being celebrated and marked all over the world as the day of Pentecost. And you had a wee sermon when Anne presented a children's address. So I am not going into that history again. But I'd like to mention to us that, as we had said before, that from today, we are beginning another journey. And that journey that might last for another 9 weeks or so, a study of the fruits, fruit of the Spirit. Last Sunday, we ended our long studies on the Lord's Prayer. And so, beginning from today, we are exploring the fruit of the Spirit. Pentecost is a great festival that marks the birth of the Christian church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after Easter. It therefore works out well that we are beginning our series of sermons on the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love. When I spoke, and I hope Gordon and Amy wouldn't mind, when I spoke with them before today, and they asked if they could suggest a reading, and I sat back and I said, okay, let's see how the Spirit works. So I sat back and I said, okay, can I have your reading? And then they gave our second reading. And I said, the Spirit is working together. Then I give it to you, because today we had already designed to speak about love as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, from verse 19 to 25, verse 19 to 21 of Galatians chapter 5 presents a list of the acts of the flesh. That is Paul writing to the Galatian church, telling them the fruit or the signs of the flesh. He mentions sexual immorality, impurity, jealousy, selfish ambition, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, dissension, faction, and drunkenness. I like witchcraft because what Paul has mentioned here is a universal currency. And I remember teaching in the U.S., and when I was asking the students in U.S. to explore witchcraft in contemporary America, it was interesting to see examples and the reality of witchcraft. So that witchcraft is not Asian or African phenomenon. It is something that has a universal currency. But that is not where our sermon is focused for today. In contrast, Paul tells the Galatian believers of the need for them to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit here includes love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need to remember that the fruit of the Spirit is just one fruit expressed in different ways. And so it doesn't leave us with choice as to say, I will love, but I am not peaceful. They come as a pack. They are not fruits. It is simply one fruit that is expressed in different ways. In the list of the fruit of the Spirit, love is first. And biblical scholars are quick to point out the prominence of love in Paul's theology or Paul's thoughts. In 1 Corinthians, where we took our second reading, Apostle Paul presents love as the most important. And so he writes, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is the blossom which produces the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit begins with and ends with love. For we can suggest here that joy is love rejoicing. Patience is love enduring. Peace is love trusting. Kindness is love serving. Goodness is love extending. Faithfulness is love proving. Gentleness is love touching. Self-control is love restraining. Love is produced in us when we come to terms with God's love. Behold what manner of love, writes John in chapter 17, verse 20, that the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. We find the ultimate sacrificial love of God as demonstrated in the dying and rising of his Son for us. There is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. John chapter 15, verse 13. One of the best descriptions of the nature and character of Jesus is the fruit of the Spirit. In John chapter 15, from verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, we are connected to him. And when we are, we'll bear fruits. Just like you see this, it has become useless. It has to be attached to this to bear fruits. Edwin J. Stanton was one of Abraham Lincoln's most outspoken political enemies. Stanton called Lincoln a low cunning clown and also called him the original gorilla. In fact, he once said, it is ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they could find one easily in Springfield, Illinois. To Lincoln's credit, he never responded to these insults. Yet when he became the president of America, Lincoln chose Stanton to be his Secretary of War, a very sensitive position. When asked why, Lincoln said, because he's the best man. Later, when Lincoln had been assassinated, Stanton stood by the coffin which contained Lincoln's body, and in tears he said, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. Patient love in action won Stanton over in the end. Through the teaching of Jesus, but more importantly by the way he lived, Christ shows us that love is much more than a feeling. It is action focused on the well-being of others. Our world is in need of the right kind of love. Does it not touch you that in our own time, in contemporary societies, we have more songs, romantic songs, love words, love signs, and it is not just in Europe, all over the world. We have growing number of love songs, yet we have growing and increasing and heartbreaking level of hatred. For me, that's really a contrast. Something to pray about, something to think about in relation to our world. So we need true, genuine love, agape love, love that flows from the heart of our Savior Jesus, love that is selfless, love that is self-giving. That is what the world is in need of. Perhaps you are here this morning and may consider your life to have been a mess. Maybe you are battling with unhealthy behaviors, like an addiction or some kind of bad habits. Perhaps you may have been verbally or sexually abused by people who should protect you. Perhaps you are here this morning and you may not remember a time in your life when you were ever happy. You know this, that for many people in contemporary societies, organized religion has not been the path, but rather the obstacle to happiness. And often people look at the nuns who smacked students' wrists with rulers, to preachers who threatened sinners with damnation. And so organized religion has left many people with emotional distress. Certainly, Christ seeks to engage us in the deep questions of life and to prompt us to seriously think about our direction and purpose in life. Why are we here? Why do we live? Where are we going from here? But God also wants to encourage happiness. Christianity does not stifle it. And here we are presented with the true joy. And this true joy comes from the knowledge that we are loved by God. It also comes by loving others. The fruit of the Spirit is planted inside us as seed when we give our lives to Jesus. Through the Spirit, we can experience joy and peace in every circumstance, no matter how difficult or painful. This is good news. God loves us just as we are. But God refuses to leave us that way. He wants us to grow and be like Jesus, who loves and cares even for his enemies. A world starved of love is dreadful and depressing. And we can see it in different parts of the world, with terrorist attacks, with violence, in different places. But a world where people reach out to others with Christ-like love can become a place where people prosper and live together in peace. Amen.